Looking at Ted Bundy, I mean, here in 2019, it seems we're getting a whole slew of new content about the man, the serial killer known as Ted Bundy. Yeah. Why are people suddenly so intrigued by him in particular?
It's interesting, isn't it? I mean, he kind of became the poster boy, if you will, literally and, you know, metaphorically, for the serial killer as the actual serial killer emerged in the 70s and 80s and became popularized culturally. Now, of course, there's a whole other set of things at play, including the streaming services that we have that can bring a whole range of different content to light that we wouldn't normally have had. And we're able to binge, if you like. I mean, I know articles recently have talked about the Bundy binge of late, but I'm talking about binge in the sense that we binge on a lot of crime-related material. And it's certainly one of the most popular genres across the streaming platforms globally at this point in time. So it's produced quite a lot. And a lot of cable TV networks, for example, in Australia and overseas, have devoted crime channels that will have weekends which have shows like Serial Killer Sunday or In the Mind of a Serial Killer, and then all of the other subsidiary programs like Mindhunt, so on and so forth. But why Ted Bundy, to get back to your original question? He was very much a kind of, I guess, sexy personification of 70s masculinity, which I think people found very attractive. Now, at this point in time, in 2019, there's a resurgence because I think it's the 30th anniversary, just a week and a half ago, of his execution. And on that date, of course, Netflix released their series, the Ted Bundy tapes, which is kind of interesting. A journalist travelled out to the prison and met with him on a number of occasions and taped a range of interviews with him, which had never been to light before. So we've got all this new source material. And these questions about Ted Bundy, why did he do it? You know, what were his motivations? What are the hidden stories behind what's going on with him? Become even more powerful now than what they were then. Add to it that we've got a film coming out, of course, which is called Extremely Wicked, Shockingly Evil and Vile, which stars Zac Efron, has just premiered 2 weeks at the Sundance Film Festival as well. So we've got an incredibly sexy, charismatic figure playing a supposedly sexy, charismatic serial killer, and a whole range of things come into play. And I guess one is the cult around the serial killer, the serial killer as a kind of point of not just fascination, but sexual attraction as well to a range of people.
Mm. Might touch on that film again in just a moment, but looking at the issue more broadly, as you say, if you're a Netflix user, it's unavoidable. I mean, really, whether you're into serial killers, true crime or not, I think when you go to the Netflix queue, it's impossible to miss all these programs that crop up.
It's trending and it's constantly presented to you. And you know why? Because it's the perfect narrative of seriality. And we've chatted about this before with respect to other topics, but this compulsion for seriality that exists within different cultural formations and preoccupations, it's whether a story has legs. That's basically what it means. And whether there's enough cultural investment in it to keep the story going. Clearly, this is a case where, yes, there is. We're interested in life and death. We're interested in mystery. We're interested in what motivates kind of attractive, you know, these sexy kind of masculine figures to do these really dark and monstrous things. And in some ways, it becomes the Beauty and the Beast kind of idea where we have this monstrous figure who is at the same time simultaneously charming and attractive and draws us to it. So there's a kind of dichotomy and a nexus there that keeps pulling us back into what's going on with Ted Bundy.
Now, as you mentioned a moment ago, the shockingly, extremely wicked, shockingly evil and vile film coming out starring Zac Efron will be, you know, focusing on the life and times of Ted Bundy. And it's been accused of, in some ways, glamorizing the killer, making him look more charismatic, look more attractive than he possibly was, and these kind of related issues. Can these kind of portrayals be problematic in terms of real-world consequence?
Well, it is. I mean, it's unlike things like, say, Natural Born Killers that came out a few years back, which tended to parody this kind of cult around serial killers and made us question our investment in the celebrity of serial killers. This trades on those things, which I think is kind of interesting and kind of bold. I don't know if you've seen the trailer or not, or the clips from the film that are available online, but he winks sexily at the camera in a kind of I, Tonya moment. You know the movie I, Tonya about, you know, the ice skating scandal?
I must admit, I did watch the trailer.
Another movie that does that, you know? He winks at it, and he says even, I'm more popular than Disney World. So he tells us he's a spectacle, he's an attraction, he's something to be watched and enjoyed. And it's funny, there are websites that actually list the hottest serial killers and what was so attractive about them. You know, it's kind of interesting. I've written some of them down here. Sutcliffe, the Yorkshire Ripper, you know, Ramirez, the Night Stalker, Charles Manson, Bianchi, Schmield, and of course, Dharma as well, are all listed amongst the, you know, the hottest serial killers as well. Unfortunately, Eileen Wuornos, the American female serial killer who was made famous in the film Monster in 2003, she was shown to be monstrous. You know, she was shown to be a kind of hideous, scary figure that we should be aware of, you know, rather than actually glamorized in a way. But in the same way, she was commodified. And that's what we do with all of these serial killers. They become cultural products that can be bought and sold and used for a range of different purposes. Some people will watch this Zac Efron film and think, okay, you know, we do need to ask questions about the culture, and it's actually making us have this discussion that you and I are having now. What's our investment in serial killers as celebrities? Why do we do that? And is it really a kind of symptom of a sick culture, or is it a symptom of us actually starting to distance ourselves historically from things that have happened? I mean, Bundy's now become a kind of historical figure in a way. He's become a 70s and 80s pinup boy, so we don't see him as a real threat anymore. The real threats are things like terrorism and mass shooters and mass shootings, so on and so forth. So we kind of dug, in some ways, we divorced the serial killer as a kind of historical moment from the very real threat of crime and monstrosity.
And yet you make it almost sound like Eileen Wuornos was the original nasty woman trying to break through the glass ceiling, and yet being portrayed a little bit differently than her male counterparts.
There were debates around the time whether or not it constituted serial killing, and of course there were a lot of debates on both sides of the argument around whether she was persecuted by the system, whether she was used by the system, and once the media had hold of a female serial killer, whether that was actually bolstered and the narrative was constructed around her. Clearly she had a lot of issues to do with education and mental health, and she had been abused herself. She'd been homeless for long periods of time as well. So there are a lot of things, obviously, that we do or don't know about her that perhaps might, you know, put a few chinks in the armour of the cult of celebrity around serial killers. But certainly she served a purpose for the mediation of those things that we're all fascinated with.
Well, Anthony, it is actually one I could go on and on about, but I think we'll leave it there. Appreciate your time, eh?
No worries, Bill. Thanks a lot.
Dr. Anthony Lambert there, Senior Lecturer in the Department of Media, Music, Communication and Cultural Studies at Macquarie University, speaking to us there about our serial killer obsession, this Ted Bundy film that's coming up. I must admit, when I first heard the controversy, I thought, oh, it's probably being a little bit overstated. And then when I watched the trailer, I was a little bit put off with the portrayal in the trailer, with the music that was being used. It did almost seem like a Wolf of Wall Street kind of situation to me, where this is a guy doing bad things, but hey, winking at the camera, and we're kind of rocking along with him. And I thought that was a little bit of a off portrayal for a serial killer and a necrophiliac.